Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey folks, well, we're getting toward the end of summer here in the South in the United States. Hope you all have had a good summer. Terry, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to test your skills.
That's never good.
Actually, we've got an interesting Surrey event to talk about.
Once again, Surrey becomes the topic of conversation.
Yeah, well, she's a smart girl, and what she started to do is climb.
Climb what?
Well, a variety of things, including the fence around the yard to go play with the neighbor's dog, and trees. And I was
Trees.
trees, yeah. I was pretty dumbfounded. I know my jaw was hanging when she came out of this tree. She had climbed up. We have some cedar trees in the yard, and she climbed up one of the cedar trees. She was about 7 or 8 feet in the air.
No way.
Yeah, she climbed up the tree, came out with a bird.
No. Oh, my goodness.
Came out with a bird.
She
So,
went hunting up a tree.
yeah.
Was she on a branch?
Yeah, she uses the branches to climb. She climbed it like a ladder, as far as I could tell. I looked up. She's in the tree. I didn't see her go
Surrey?
up. I saw her come down.
Did she just take one leap and come down, or
Yep.
did she?
Leap, and she wasn't at the top, but she was above my head, and she just jumped down to the ground.
With the bird in her mouth.
Yeah, well, the bird kind of released partway through, and then Sparky killed it.
Oh, man.
Sparky was waiting on the ground for her.
Mighty hunters.
Sparky's more of an opportunist.
I see. Surrey slowed it down long enough for him to get it.
Yeah, I didn't. I was unhappy about the fact that they got a bird, but I'm also unhappy that she's climbing trees because if she's climbing one, then she's climbing more, and I don't need to
Oh.
have her up a 60-foot pine tree someday.
Well, I gotta tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've met dogs who climb before, but I have never met a dog who climbs trees before. Now, do we have lots of these in your backyard?
We have maybe 20% of the trees are these cedars, and a lot of the bigger ones I've trimmed the lower branches so she can't climb. This one happens to be somewhat young; it's only about 9 feet, so I hadn't trimmed it yet. So
So
she's,
you're gonna trim it now.
well, I've got to, but I want to kind of break the habit in general because she, like I said, she goes over the fence. She's jumped it before, but now she's starting to climb. And what happened last Sunday was I looked out the door because I keep even a closer eye on her than I normally do because she's, doing these things now. And she was trying to get over the fence in a climb, and she slipped and caught the top of the fence under her collar.
And guess what can happen?
Yeah,
They can choke to death.
choked to death. Now she, before I had the door all the way open, she had pulled herself back up and off, and it startled her because she was stuck.
Yeah.
But it startled me a lot, and it's like, I don't know how to necessarily. I've got it stopped now in the particular place
Right.
because I've got it built out so she can't get up to where she's putting her paws and climbing up.
What
But
kind of fence do you have?
it's a 4 foot high, I don't know, there's a name for it, but it's a standard picket that comes to a point.
Oh, okay.
Well, not a point,
I
but
know, but that's what she. Oh, man.
that's what she's
She's an
climbing.
amazing dog. So, does it have horizontal
Yep.
rails on it?
Two support bars, and she's using the top support bar, and then she's kind of bouncing up enough that she can pull herself over.
Okay, so, well, the easy fix, Terry, is to just go out there and turn those fence pieces around so that the horizontal bars are on the other side for your whole backyard.
I would do that, but it's my neighbor's fence.
Oh, crud.
So they did that so their dog wouldn't climb over into my
Okay,
yard.
this is just not good. Oh, man. This is a really hard one. I know there's one fix that I'm not fond of, but that folks have had to do because it becomes a danger to the dog. The electric fencing for horses.
Yeah.
I've known people who've run that across the top of their fence. It's not anything any of us want to do, but there's always a balance between endangering your dog and the safety of your dog. That is just a really hard behavior to fix. The only way you can absolutely train it, if you can train it out of the dog, is to be out there with her every minute and have your eyes on her every minute. That's, I mean, because it's something she can do so quickly. We know how fast Surrey moves. And the kind of trees you have, just you trim them, the branches up as high as you need to so she can't start. This dog is blowing my mind. So she had a goal that day, and that was to go over the fence and play with the neighbor dog.
Yeah, she likes, well, she's, the dog next door, there's a golden lab, and they just got another younger dog, which is a little dog. It's cute, but I don't know what it is. It's just, it's got a really strange fur to it, but it's very cute, and it's a young puppy. Plunkett's very old, but we'll play with Surrey for a couple minutes and then
Puppy looked like she would be fine.
Puppy, they run and run and run and run. Of course, Surrey has to run slow because the puppy's got little legs.
Well, yeah, and since Surrey's like a bullet, or a rocket. That's a really hard one to train out. Another thing that I've known people to do, and it's effective, and that's do the in-ground electronic fence a few feet out, you know, from the regular fence. The problem with that kind of behavior is the more they do it, the more they do it.
Right.
Because they succeed. And so let me actually kind of think about that and see if I can come up with a training plan. See, guys, Terry sprung this on me. I didn't know what we were going to talk about, and he got me this time. Man, I hate it when I don't have an answer at hand.
Well, I knew it was going to be tough. I didn't really expect an answer, but I wanted a real response for the show,
right.
So I didn't bring it up in advance.
Wow. And the one thing that I can say is that dogs who want to dig under fences and dogs who climb over fences, they are, it seems, born escape artists, and it's a challenge. They're just always a challenge. I almost would rather have a climber than a digger, because what you have to go through for diggers, you almost have to dig down from your fence. And one of the options is to use wire fencing and just go down a foot or better. And that's a lot of work. And no guarantee it's going to work. I mean, how determined is your dog?
We actually did that because, you know, remember the cable incident where she was chewing the fiber optic cables?
More than once.
More than once, yes. Three times. Mm-hmm. But actually,
and you kept her.
And she survived.
Well,
was eating it.
Yeah.
But not only did we put it in a tube, because it is in a plastic tube, but we put the screen over it, and she tried to dig in one spot, didn't like the feel. So that does work.
And that does with most dogs. Once they hit that metal, they don't like it a lot. So. Stay tuned, folks. I may or may not be able to come up with a plan of attack to train. Boy, wouldn't that be good if I could, to train a dog out of being a climber?
Yeah, if you can do that, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, so we'll see.
Well, now I got another piece of this. It's not a training piece. It's a funny piece.
Okay.
So we kind of keep an eye on her, and when the dogs come out, we've already talked to them, and they're fine. We just take Surrey over there, and then they play for a little while, and we use their back gate. So the dogs come and go out their doggy door as they please. Mm-hmm. Neighbors weren't home. We took Surrey over. They all decided to go in the house.
Okay, then. Through the doggy door.
Through the doggy door. And Vicky was up on their deck trying to get Surrey to come out of the house. Calling her. And
Surrey's in there circling, going, oh, what's here? Is there anything I can get into?
Oh, she went all through the house, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was standing at the sliding door looking out, wagging her tail. But she wouldn't come to Vicky through the door.
Oh, that's hysterical, man. I swear to you. Guys, dogs are way smarter than us. And they find ways to do things they want to do. And we sort of just stand there with our mouths hanging open, going, whoa.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's interesting. I'll try that again in English. I think that she's very comfortable with a doggy door because we don't have one.
Right.
But from agility stuff, going through tubes and stuff. Because she will, even when we'll go over there and sit on the deck with them, the dogs are playing, she'll go in and out of their house on her own. She don't care.
Surrey, did you ask first?
No.
The
neighbors just laugh at her.
What a goof, I swear to you. Yeah, this is a good one, Terry.
That's funny. She's a bright dog. She keeps us jumping.
Yeah, they will keep you on your toes. All right, so something else, but please don't make it a hard training thing.
Well, it's not. I don't remember the episode number. I've gotten bad at remembering that stuff. But we talked about DNA testing for dogs to identify breeds. And
at the time, you said that you were going to do more research.
Right, and I have done more research.
And?
I found better but not satisfied.
So what better did you find?
Well, I found that a lot of the mainstream, I'll call them, for lack of a better term, really look at about 60 to 100 dog breeds.
Mm-hmm.
And in my understanding, there's more than 700 total worldwide. So
wow, that's a small percentage.
It's a pretty small percentage, and it's very vanilla. And those are the ones that are typically doing it with saliva testing.
Okay.
And the prices range from like $59 to $89 for the same test for the same breeds of dogs.
Is there a blood test version?
Well, that's the best one I've found so far. So Mars Veterinary is the company, mm-hmm. and they offer their MX thing. It is done with blood.
Mm-hmm.
They match it to 157 breeds.
Yeah, it's a little better.
It is a little better. They're the only ones out of all the ones I've looked through that do Australian cattle dogs and do American
Staffordshire Terriers.
Yeah, Staffordshire Terriers. Because I was looking for those types of breeds, and
right.
the things that are a little bit different.
Is anybody doing pits and bully breeds? Yeah.
Well, they do bullies, so they'll do bulldogs.
Right.
They'll do the smaller pugs and those types of dogs,
but not
the American Pit Bull Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because there's legal cases now where in the places where the breed banning is happening,
right.
the BSL stuff that everybody hates, and if you don't hate it, you should at least understand it,
right?
Because it's bad for all breeds. People are using DNA testing to prove their dogs are not American Pit Bull Terrier, and I don't know whose tests they're using.
Right. So is it accurate?
If they're using one of the commercial tests, I would say no.
Right, because it doesn't include the breed.
Right, it's going to look... Well, it could be accurate. Here's the thing. So they give you the three primary breeds.
Mm-hmm.
So if the first primary breed, in the example that they had was a dog, to me, if I saw it, I'd say it's a pit bull.
Right.
It looked like an American Pit Bull Terrier to me. It was 50%, more than 50% lab.
Genetics, man.
But you couldn't...
You didn't see a lab, you saw a pit.
Right, because of the ears and the head. Right. But more than 50%, to me, makes it a mix, a very thick mix.
Right.
And then two other breeds weren't bully breeds at all.
Wow.
But would 40% of it be bully breed if they actually tested it?
Right. Oh, man.
So I don't know.
So this is pretty new, right?
It's new to me. I don't know how long they've been doing it. I haven't actually looked at that. I mean, DNA testing for even humans hasn't been around all that long.
Just thought of something. I'm having dinner with friends tonight, and one of them is a vet. And I'm going to bring this up.
Cool.
And see if she has any knowledge that we don't have that we could share with our listeners.
That sounds really cool. Because this, I actually, the Mars stuff... was, like I said, the best, and I got that information from actually Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Oh, there you go.
And it was Ed from Best Friends that said that this is the best that he's found.
And they would know. I think they're a really good resource.
Well, they're very much anti-BSL, and
right.
they're really trying to get this stuff under control. It should be not about the breed, it should be about the action.
Right, absolutely.
So I suspect there isn't any better, but if you've got a contact, let's talk to them.
Yeah, I'll ask her if she knows anything we don't know. I'll tell her that that's the best one that you've come across. Is there anything better that we need to know about?
Because we definitely in the fight to get the dog laws right,
mm-hmm.
they're going to need a better test.
Well, absolutely. And the piece about it having to include all those dogs who folks want to ban... They have to be in that
right.
genetic testing.
And
they
that includes German Shepherds, Doberman
mm-hmm.
Pinschers, Rottweilers.
Absolutely.
Mastiffs.
If you have a big dog,
yeah,
more than likely, eventually, if this keeps going, they're going to be on the list. My labs are going to be on the list eventually.
Any dog over a certain weight will be considered
right.
a dangerous dog.
And it's absolute nonsense.
It is. It
makes me crazy.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's a whole other episode.
Four. We could rant a lot on that subject. Yeah, I think we're going to do an episode just on that soon.
There's a lot of material.
Right. May have to be multiple episodes, but I think it's our responsibility to share as much information as we can with our listeners, because it's a very serious subject. And when folks start putting things into law in various and sundry states, man, it spreads like wildfire if you're not careful.
Well, what I find interesting is the fact that there's so many, as many states, or some of them are little podunk towns, mm-hmm. that are enacting BSL, there's almost an equal number that are removing it.
Rescinding because
it doesn't work. And even one of the oldest ones, which is Miami-Dade County in Florida, mm-hmm. so down the southern tip,
right?
They're, after 20 years, they've got enough data to say, this doesn't make a difference. It costs us a ton of money.
Wow.
And it doesn't work. So they're considering this, and I actually signed the petition for them to put this up for a vote and get this out there. But, you know, Denver, there's a lot of conversation happening in Denver, and Denver's been around a long time as well. Their BSL, they were almost brutal in my mind, the way they removed family pets and destroyed them.
Man.
So they're talking about it, but then, of course, you've got the extremists that say, you know, pit bulls are all bad,
right?
And we got to, you know, eliminate the breed, and then you get some of those in the right government agencies, and it's hard to get this stuff out of there. But if you look at Europe, and if you look at some of the other areas that are rescinding this,
mm-hmm.
over and over again, it does not work.
Okay, so that's going on our list for lots of research and lots of, as far as we can determine, we'll try to give everyone the real skinny on it. And, you know, you can believe anything you want, but you need to be informed, and we'll try to be the folks who fill that gap. Because there is so much misinformation.
There is a ton of misinformation. Right. And even some of the good information gets misquoted.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of very particular things. One main study that's out there that the scientific study that was taking place, is being misused because they're taking an excerpt out of it.
Out of context.
Out of context. And they're repeating this over and over again through the legal systems and through the government.
It becomes a soundbite.
Right. And it's wrong. Even they're saying, you guys, this is wrong. You're not using this right. That's not wrong information. So anyway,
man.
Whole episode series.
Yeah, on BSL. Mm-hmm. And yes, everybody out there with a bully breed dog, we love them. Yes?
I love all dogs.
Yeah.
I have I like bully breeds because they're so gentle. And people don't get that. Right, they can be trained to be mean. Any dog can be trained to be mean.
And any dog, if the genetics are wrong, can be born with some really bad stuff going on.
Right.
And that's when mean can't be got rid of.
Right, if it's inbred you've got that.
Yeah.
And that can, again, that can be bully breeds, but it can be
Any dog, yeah.
Puppy mill dogs.
Puppy mill dogs notorious for having really bad heavy-duty behavior issues. So,
yeah.
All right,
moving on.
That. Okay, we want to talk about one really, really cool thing. If y'all are regular listeners, you know that Bark Radio supports Two Dogs, 2,000 Miles. Luke Robinson and his two Great Pyrenees are walking from Austin, Texas to Boston, Massachusetts. It's taken them quite a while. They've been walking for over a year. And as we speak, they are headed for Virginia and the District of Columbia. They're going to hit Leesburg the beginning of September. And on September 18th, that's a Friday morning, folks, at 10 o'clock, we're going to be hooking up with Luke and the boys at Lady Bird Johnson Park up in D.C., and hopefully hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you will be there with your dogs. We are all going to walk across the Memorial Bridge onto the mall, and it's all about raising awareness of canine cancer. That's why Luke is doing this insane walk. And so Bark Radio will be there. We will have links all over the place on our site. Well, it'll be on Facebook. It'll be on Twitter. Please join us if you can. Again, mark your calendars, Friday, September 18th, and you can get lots of information from twodogs2000miles.org.
Cool. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a neat event.
It's going to be pretty darn amazing. And for those of you who are anywhere near D.C., we're about 100 miles from Washington, and if you show up, and if it's not a blazing hot day, we will have at least one each of our dogs with us. And so you will get to meet one of either Sparky or Surrey.
Well, or both, Vicky's maybe. Going, so we're going to take both.
Oh, cool.
As long as it's not 100 degrees.
Right. And you'll get to meet my big chocolate lab goober boy, Mr. Murphy, plus the boys, Murphy and Hudson, the two Great Pyrenees. It's going to be a great time, y'all. Come join us and walk for a good cause.
Be very cool. Look forward to meeting you guys.
Yep. So that's it for this week.
That's a wrap.
All right.
See ya.
Mm-hmm.